I want to thank you again for joining us for another devotion. I'm turning to Job. I'm just going to read Job chapter 1 and verse number 1. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Now, the book of Job, on the surface, appears just to be a man in history who went through tremendous trials, and we learn a lot from Job just on the surface of it. For instance, we learn about a little bit about the sons of God in Job 1 and 2, and Job 38 talks about these sons of God as well being angels, and so we learn a little bit about Satan as well, the permissive will of God. God permits Satan to try Job, and so there is a permissive will of God. And so he allows Satan to try Job. We also learn in Job 38, there's 35 questions in Job 38 that God asked Job, which has to do with science. And so Job is already thousands of years ahead of modern day science. And so that's very obvious from Job chapter 38, also in other references in Job 26 as well. So on the surface, we find a lot of things about Job that are important. We know that Job was the first book written in the Bible. Job was living at the time of Abraham. And so therefore, Moses had not even been born yet. Moses is the author of, at least we know for sure, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. We know that he edited much of Genesis, but we won't go into very much of that. But Moses is credited with being the author of the Pentateuch. But Job becomes the very first book. And so it's one of the books of wisdom. There are five books of wisdom, and Job is one of those books. And so that's just kind of covering just a little bit about Job. It's in the land of Uz. So let's go to some things that are below the surface that a lot of times that we don't really grasp very easily just by a cursory reading of the book of Job. One thing that's important, we read in verse number 1 that he is from the land of Uz. That has some significance. If we trace the land of Uz back to Genesis 10 and we trace it forward to, I think it's Ezekiel, we'll discover that Uz is in the land of Edom. That's important because the Bible says that Edom is a cursed nation in the millennial kingdom. And matter of fact, Isaiah chapter number 34 places Edom as a place of hell during the millennial kingdom reign of Christ. Edom is south of the Dead Sea, and that's where Sodom and Gomorrah. That's the area where Sodom and Gomorrah was when it was judged by God with fire from heaven. And so that becomes a significant place in the fact that it becomes the path of the second advent. The land of Uz is where one of the places where Jesus Christ, when he comes with his saints, during the right after the tribulation, when he comes to take over his throne, he goes on a path. Habakkuk chapter 3 talks about the path of the second advent. It starts with Sinai, goes through the wilderness, and it comes down through Edom to Mount Seir. Mount Seir is in Edom. And then it goes up east of the Dead Sea, and then it ends up going through Moab and Ammon, which is present-day Jordan. And then, just as we learn in the Bible, Jesus comes to the east gate, and so he goes from east to west. So he travels, he goes up through north, through Moab and Ammon, and then he crosses from west to east over to the Jordan River where he was baptized. And he crosses over the Mount of Olives. That's where he stands. And of course, the Mount of Olives splits. And then he goes into the East Gate through the temple and takes over his throne. And so the land of Uz is this is in the path of the second advent. So we're going to find about the book of Job is that the very first book of the Bible here, the very first one written, not listed in the Bible, but the very first one written, is already prophetic. If you don't believe that, then you can go to Jude chapter the book of Jude, and you can discover that Enoch was already preaching about the second advent of Jesus Christ, the second coming of Christ. Enoch preached that, prophesied that before Noah. In the very early days of creation, the second coming of Jesus Christ was being preached. And so it should not be surprise to any of us that there will be 50 different prophecies in the book of Job. That shouldn't surprise us at all, considering that the second advent was already being preached by the early prophets before even Noah's flood. And so there's no accident that this is in the land of Uz, which places the second coming of Christ through its path. So Job becomes a type not only of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ suffered. He was acquainted with the grief. And so Job not only becomes a type of Christ because of his suffering, he also becomes a type of the tribulation saint, type of the tribulation Jew as well. And so he becomes a type of that. Job has 42 chapters. As we know, there are 42 months in the tribulation period. And so I don't think that's an accident either. God visits Job and talks to him in Job chapter 38. So from between Job chapter 2 and Job chapter 38, God has not addressed anybody. So in about Job 38, God addresses Job. This may be a sort of a type of God's visit in his address to Israel sometime later on in the tribulation period after they've gone through their suffering. One very interesting note of the book of Job is the fact that he starts out with 10 kids, 7 boys and 3 girls. At the very end of the tribulation, of this tribulation for Job, he gets 10 children back. This obviously is a reference to the resurrection. He gets all 10 children back. So this is definitely a reference to the resurrection. This is what we would call the post-tribulation rapture, where God calls his elect from the four corners of the earth after the tribulation period. Again, of course, if you follow all of our lessons and all of our preaching, we believe based on the Bible and an insurmountable amount of evidence that there are 3 raptures in the first resurrection. The second one's coming, and this is the third one here. And so very clearly, Job talks about, Job is a reference to this post-tribulation rapture of the saints as he gets his 10 children back after the tribulation. So Job is a very remarkable book. The author of Job is in Job 32:16. There, the author of Job is mentioned. If you read very carefully, you'll discover that Elihu is the actual author of the book of Job. So I want to first of all reference the fact that Job is a very important book in the Bible, especially when we're talking about things like science, and we can see just how accurate Job is when it comes to science and just how remarkable. I forget his name, but back in the 1960s it was, I think maybe there was when he's Rimmer, a guy named Rimmer who started who wrote some books and things of that nature. But I think it was 1980 that he had got a bunch of scientists together and had asked them to answer the 35 questions in Job chapter 38. And they were able to answer about 25 of those questions. They could not answer 10. They still could not answer 10 of them. Even with modern day science, they could not answer 10 of his questions. But it has to do with all different kinds of sciences. And you're going to find that in the book, in Job 38 alone. So Job 38 becomes very foundational in just how in our universe and our creation, and is actually remarkable because many of those questions were not considered until very late, you know, Renaissance and you know, after the Reformation, when science began to really take off. But Job had already is a much advanced on that type of thing. And so when you read the book of Job, I want you to understand you're reading a very, very important book. You know, Job is the first 7 days, he doesn't say anything. Of course, we know the first thing that happens to him, he loses his wealth and he loses his children, first of all. When Satan comes back, we don't know how long, within a month, or could have come back within a year. He came back and Satan came with the sons of God and presented him before God. And God asked this question, have you considered my servant Job? Okay, that's the first question he asked Satan. And Satan, does he serve you for naught? And so God says, you can take away his children. You can take away his wealth. And then the second time Satan comes to him in chapter 2, Satan says, yeah, skin for skin, okay, and flesh for flesh. In other words, sure, somebody will still serve you if they lose everything, but touch his body, touch his skin, ruin his health, and I guarantee you Job will curse you. And so God allows Job's health to be ruined. And it's at this point that Job goes into the city dump, we would call it today, on a ash heap, and And for 7 days, he doesn't say a word. You know, his three friends have already come, and they've seen his grief. And for 168 hours, Job doesn't say anything. And that's why James chapter 5 and verse number 11 says, you know, talks about the patience of Job. That's why Ezekiel 38:14 lists Job as one of the three greatest men on the earth. Ezekiel mentions Job with Daniel and Noah. Matter of fact, the Bible mentions really seven, what it considers seven great people of the Bible: Job, Daniel, Noah, and forgive me for not knowing all the other ones. I think Abraham would be one, David would be one, and two others. And all these are types of, all these have special characteristics about them that made them great. But Job is listed amongst the great men of the Bible, especially the top three: Noah, Daniel, and of course, as we mentioned, Job here. So Job, for patience was tested, and Job kept his faith. He did not curse God. And so when his friends began to put him to the test, Job begins to make complaints and things of that nature. But Job is tremendous through his trial. His wife, you know, she turned on him, and so the trials that Job has, matter of fact, there's not anybody in the Bible that can match the trials that Job went through. Paul went through a lot, but Paul never had the wealth that Job had. Paul never had a wife that turned on him like Job had. And so there's a lot of things Paul didn't have to lose that Job did lose. Paul had bad eyes, but he never experienced the detriment in health that Job experienced. There's other people in the Bible that went through a lot of things, but here Job becomes the example of how we are to live through our trials. And because a very good book to understand and know for when we face our difficulties from day to day. The Bible says that he gives us patience, not just in the trials that Job went through, but he also gives us patience in the day-to-day little trials that we go through as well. But Job becomes a great book in how to handle and how to deal with certain things. And so we just want to kind of give an overview of Job. And go into a few details that maybe people really don't see when they read the book of Job. I want you to understand that Job is very prophetic. Matter of fact, I think it's Job 26. It tells us that he shall see God in the flesh. It mentions the resurrection of the book of Job. The first book, going back thousands of years, tells us that Job would rise again and see God in the flesh. And so already in the book of Job, we have many wonderful truths and doctrines to speak of and that talk about the future and talk about our hope. And so I would encourage you to read the book of Job, and I would encourage you to, you know, understand some of the types in the book of Job regarding the tribulation, regarding the future, regarding the resurrection. And so there's many wonderful things in the book of Job. We hope that you've enjoyed this little overview of Job. Again, you know, as Christians, we're going to face trials. As just human beings, we face trials. We face health problems. We face difficult things. And Job's answer was, you know, the Lord gave and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And so Job, and I do want to close with this, Job gives a sacrifice of praise. And I want to emphasize that, because the Bible talks about us as priests, spiritually as priests, in the body of Christ. And as priests, the Bible says we give the sacrifice of praise. It's one of the sacrifices we give, is our lips giving praise to God. So what I want to mention here is that we do not give a sacrifice of praise when things are going good. It's actually when things are going bad that we perform that sacrifice. So I want to encourage you that even in the bad times, the Bible says we are to praise Him in the difficult times, because it's then that we give a spiritual sacrifice unto God. And so when we praise God in difficult times, then God sees that as a sacrifice, something that's difficult to do. Job does a difficult thing. He performs a spiritual sacrifice that God is pleased with when we do that. So I'm going to close with that. To always praise the Lord in the good times and in the bad times. Job teaches us that very practical truth, as Peter taught when he talked about the priesthood and the sacrifice of praise that Paul speaks about all, as well in his epistles. I hope you've enjoyed this little lesson today. I think tomorrow I'm going to still be on this book tomorrow, because there's a few other things I want to mention about the book of Job that I can go into now. And I'm going to, matter of fact, as you're on air right now, I want to pause and see where I'm at, see if I got a little bit more time to go into something else before we close. Okay, we still have 3 or 4 minutes, so that really doesn't give me time to go into to something else we're going to go into. So we'll make that a separate lesson for tomorrow. Thank you for joining us for our devotion today. I hope God blesses you, and may you serve the Lord with gladness and with praise.